Psalm 105 is a celebration of Israel's history, and what you're going to see in this psalm is a recounting of how God dealt with and delivered Israel from their many challenges as his chosen nation. And this psalm, Psalm 105, focuses on how God delivered his people specifically from their bondage in Egypt. And so that's what's going to be the focus of this particular psalm. By the way, the first part of this psalm is identical to a section that we read in 1 Chronicles, I believe it's chapter 16, when David is bringing the tabernacle into the city of Jerusalem, and he tells Asaph and his other temple worshipers to sing this song. And so it's for that reason that we believe that this psalm, even though it's not mentioned here, is probably written by David. And it goes like this. Verse 1, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wondrous works, glory in his holy name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice." And that's just kind of the introduction of the psalm, as if to say, encouraging you and I to speak of the things that the Lord has done. Let people be encouraged by them. It's called your testimony, if it's something that the Lord did to you, or if you're telling another story about what the Lord did to someone else or for someone else, you know, it's just, you're just giving praise. You know, I was reading just today about it was an article I was reading, and she was telling about how when she and her husband were newly married, she said, we had very little money, and she was pregnant, and they went to the store, they went to Sears, and to look for coats, because her pregnancy was causing her coat not to fit, you know, and the weather was getting cold, and so they went to the store and they found a coat that fit just perfectly, and they looked at the price tag, and it was something like $75, and that was too much. They couldn't afford it. They just weren't making that much money and having a hard time making ends meet. So she said, you know, we kind of put it back, and on the way home, she said, I really just kind of cried out to the Lord, you know, not in a complaining sort of a way, but just kind of in a way of saying, Lord, you know that there's this need, and we just don't have a lot of money, you know, to buy stuff right now, and we just really need your help. So, you know, they kind of just made their way home, and before they went into their apartment, they checked their mail, and lo and behold, no, they didn't receive money, not cash anyway. You know what was in the mail? A gift certificate for $75 at Sears. She said, we got right back in the car and went right to Sears and bought the coat, you know? And it was like, thank you, Jesus. Well, what did I just do? I just told you about the works of the Lord, didn't I? That's exactly what the psalmist is telling us to do. Oh, tell of his wondrous works. Tell of his goodness, right? Doesn't that little story just like that just put a little lilt in your heart? And you're just kind of like, yay, God, you know? He cares. He knows our needs, and he's able to meet our needs according to his great mercy and so forth. Well, that's what this psalm is telling us to do. Verse 4, it says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. And now he's going to begin to speak of the history of Israel, beginning with Abraham. And he says, O offspring of Abraham, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant that he made with Abraham, his sworn promise to Isaac, which he confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance. When they were few in number, of little account, and sojourners in it, wandering from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people, he allowed no one to oppress them. He rebuked kings on their account, saying, touch not my anointed ones. do my prophets no harm. When he summoned a famine on the land and broke all supply of bread, he had sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. His feet were hurt with fetters. His neck was put in a collar of iron until what he had said came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people set him free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his possessions, to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his elders wisdom. Talking about just the way God used Joseph so powerfully, as you read in the book of Genesis. Then Israel came to Egypt, and that speaks of how the famine was so bad that the people of Israel, the sons of Israel and their families, came to Egypt to escape the famine. Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. You'll remember Ham is one of the sons of Noah. And the Lord made his people very fruitful and made them stronger than their foes. He turned their hearts to hate his people, to deal craftily with his servants. Now speaking of how the Egyptians put the Israelites to servitude. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They performed his signs among them and miracles in the land of Ham. He sent darkness, now speaking of the miracles themselves, and made the land dark. They did not rebel against his words. He turned their waters into blood and caused their fish to die. Their land swarmed with frogs, even in the chambers of their kings. He spoke and there came swarms of flies and gnats throughout their country. Now he's going through and talking about all the plagues that were put upon the Egyptians. He gave them hail for rain and fiery lightning bolts through their land. He struck down their vines and fig trees and shattered the trees of their country. He spoke and the locusts came, young locusts without number, which devoured all the vegetation in their land and ate up the fruit of their ground. He struck down all the firstborn in their land, the first fruits of all their strength. Then he brought out Israel with silver and gold, and there was none among his tribes who stumbled. Egypt was glad when they departed, for dread of them had fallen upon it. He spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light by night. They asked, and he brought quail and gave them bread from heaven in abundance. He opened the rock and water gushed out. It flowed through the desert like a river. For he remembered his holy promise and Abraham, his servant. So he brought his people out with joy, his chosen ones with singing. And he gave them the lands of the nations, and they took possession of the fruit of the people's toil, that they might keep his statutes and observe his laws. Praise the Lord. Well, it's a simple kind of recounting of just a portion of the history of Israel, isn't it? Where the psalmist is just praising God for how he took care of Israel. Now, did you notice this psalm doesn't make any mention of Israel's mistakes, really? It doesn't really, because that's not the focus. The focus isn't Israel here. The focus is God. Now, in the next psalm, and don't read ahead, but in the next psalm, he is going to focus on Israel's mistakes, but again, not to focus necessarily on Israel, but to focus on God's mercy, even though Israel made mistakes. But here, it's just the story of God's faithfulness. It's the story of God's goodness toward Israel. And I want you to think for just a moment, what if your story was put to poetic song? The story of you, maybe the story of your family, the story of, you know, how when you were born and then the promises God made to you, even perhaps before you knew the Lord, and then how you came to know Christ as your Savior and how you began to walk with the Lord and God's faithfulness to you to take care of you. And you know, your story, if it was written by God, it would include things you probably didn't even know happened. You didn't even know God was watching over you, you know, and did things for you. And you might read him in here and go, wow, that's pretty incredible, God, you know. But what would your story say if it was put to a psalm like this to show forth God's faithfulness? God has been faithful to you just as much as he has been to Israel. God has shown his faithfulness to you. You may not be fully aware of it. There was 25 years of my life where I had absolutely no consciousness or awareness of God's faithfulness in my life, because it took that long for me to humble myself like a big idiot and finally drop to my knees and say, okay, you win. Uncle, you know, I'll give my life to you. Took 25 years and a lot of pretty significant failures in my life to bring me to that place. But one of the things the Lord spoke to me very early on in my Christian life was this statement. The Lord said, I knew you when you knew me not. And that's a very humbling thing to hear from the Lord. I knew you when you knew me not. In other words, I was watching over your life before you even had any inkling of who I was or how I was operating in your life. And you know, I believe that that statement is not unique about me by any stretch of the imagination. I believe God knew you when you knew him not. God knew what was going on in your life. God knew what you needed the most. Even when you weren't sure or you thought you were sure, but he knew what you really needed and he was working in your life to bring about the purpose of his will. Even when you thought maybe you'd even been abandoned. Even when you thought God had left you alone. Even when you thought your prayers were going nowhere. He was listening and he was faithful and he was working all things together for good, even though you were unaware of it. This psalm is all about faithfulness, God's faithfulness. And this is just the stuff we know. This is just the stuff the psalmist knew enough to write about. How much more faithful has God been in areas that we have absolutely no idea?